Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Show, the number one show where you can come here, listen to news about games, and get some ideas for games you want to play. Today, it's just Adam and myself. Antoine is occupied with family matters, but that's okay. We have plenty of games to fill in. Before we get started with today's show, don't forget to subscribe. Hit the bell notification icon wherever you are, right? If you're on Twitch, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, right? We'd love more listeners, more viewers. This is a once-a-week show. This doesn't take up a lot of your time. And if you occasionally miss the show, we have the podcast out. We have the YouTube shorts out, highly some of the core content that we talk about in these episodes. So we have content for pretty much everyone. If you're a big person into live streaming, Adam's always live streaming. This show's live streaming as well. If you're somebody who's into podcasts and you like to ride bikes like me and listen to this stuff, you get to do that as well. Without further ado, let's start off as usual with Adam to recap what he has been playing this week.
I've been playing pretty much exclusively Final Fantasy 14. I've done a little bit of Frozen Flame in order to mostly just mining, gathering the resources. So now on my character, I have all the best gear. I have all mithril armor. I have whatever the helmet is. I don't think I said mithril as well. So I have all those things ready for the next patch. So when the next patch drops, I'm going to be at top gear. So I'll be able to fight off that boss guy when he comes. But other than that, mostly Final Fantasy 14, catching up on the story, leveling up my black mage, leveling up my, what do we call them? The harvesting person.
Why are you leveling them up though? What's the point of that?
So, just for fun. Yeah, just for fun. The because you obviously newer content, if you want to do newer content, you have to have a matching level. So, you know, it gives you more options. So if I want to play a black mage and my black mage is level 85, I can only do content up to level 85. Whereas if I want to do a level 90 content thing, I'd have to switch over to my summoner who is already level 90. So basically it's just keeping up and giving yourself options. And then also, for instance, we're about halfway through. They just dropped patch 6.3. There are usually six patches between expansions. So we are about midway through the expansion, midway between the previous expansion and the next expansion. So having those classes available means that when the next expansion drops, if I want to use them in new content, I can. Otherwise, I would be limited to whatever class I use. For example, when I played Endwalkers, I was pretty much exclusively playing the summoner. But if I wanted to do a dungeon and I'm like, oh, I'm tired of summoning, I want to tank one, I can't do that because I don't have a tank at that level. So having things at that level basically gives you more options.
So yesterday, right? Like, were you playing solo yesterday or were you playing with other people?
It's an MMO, so I mean, it's never 100% solo, but I didn't have any dedicated people I was playing with.
Oh, so like you were like, because I saw you fighting like this big giant thing and I saw a lot of people. I'm like, I don't think you could be, it was morning, right? So you could have been playing with American friends.
I'm but on no, the American server. So yeah. My mornings are when it's usually pretty busy. Because that's the evening there.
And so you're just playing with random people, killing that giant thing together. And like in Final Fantasy 16, that's doable to play with randos and actually do high level content.
14. Yes.
Final 14, yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
In 14, yeah, so that was a raid. What you do is they have what's called a duty finder, and you just go into the duty finder, you say what you want to do. You can pick a specific dungeon or a specific raid or a specific trial, or you can just go to the duty finder to say, I want to do a trial, I don't care which one, I want to do a raid, I don't care which one, and it'll just queue you up, and it basically assigns you a number based on your role, your number 3 in the tank queue, or your number 10 in the healer queue, or your number 4 in the DPS queue. So just assigns you a role and then just puts people, just matches people until your turn is up, and then it'll put you in a raid. So I'm playing with 24 other people in a raid, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I was just curious, what are the Final Fantasy numbers on Steam? And it's up like 20,000 people in the last month.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think Final Fantasy 14 is now officially the biggest MMO. I think it surpassed WoW at this point.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember like last year or the year before, people were saying how it was the second biggest MMO. But now a lot of times when I see it referenced online, a lot of people are calling it, they'll say, oh, Final Fantasy 14, the biggest MMO. So I think it might have surpassed. I'm not 100% sure. It just might be really close. But it's definitely in the top two. So it and WoW are competing for the top slot right now.
Final Fantasy 14 has a total player count of around 40 million people.
Lots of people around the world.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but see, like the Steam count is only 47,000. That's like a huge difference. So that means 39 million people are playing on PlayStation 5. That's
It's across Steam, it's across PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and you might be able to just play it directly through Square Enix. You might just be able to download the client from the Square Enix store. So some people might
play it through okay. So Steam is just like a small minority with only 47,000 people.
Yeah, like for instance, I cannot get it on Steam because it's not offered in Taiwan on the Taiwanese Steam. In fact, in my version that I'm playing, I have to download it on my... It's the only game I play on my American PlayStation account, because even though most of the games I can download on the American account, I can still play them on my Taiwanese account. But this one, your account has to match the store. So it's the only game that I play on my American account.
That's just ridiculous about some of that regional stuff.
But yeah, because that was one of the things that I noticed with the with Steam. I think there was a... Maybe now I could get it, but I remember at one point, yeah, you couldn't get it on Steam. But Phil has it, but I don't know if he bought it through his UK account or if he got it through his... I'm not sure how Phil got it, but Phil has it on PC now, so he's double-dipped even.
Okay, so you said in a year for Final Fantasy XIV, there's 6 expansions a year.
No, there's an expansion every 2 years. There are 6 patches between each expansion.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, the last expansion was Endwalker, and then which is 6.0. And then they have patch 6.1, 6.2, and right now we're in patch 6.3. Usually the first 3 patches are cleaning up the story from the previous expansion, and then usually the next few, 0.4, 0.5, and 0.6, usually start setting up what's going to be happening in the next expansion. So I think in this one, we're pretty sure we're going to be going to what they call the 14th, which is a world that has ended already. The way... To get into the lore, basically what happened was a long time ago, you had your world, there was a catastrophe, the world started falling apart. The solution was to create basically a god that would protect the planet and keep the planet from destruction by balancing out the elements of the planet, because you're getting like meteors falling from the sky and whatnot. And some people, but to do that, they had to sacrifice half their population to this god, to bring this god to light. And then the idea was, they were going to do that, and then after the planet was stable, the god would return basically the souls that it was created of. And so that was the plan. But then the other half of the population decided, that sounds dangerous. We're sacrificing half our population for this. This god has too much power. So the other half of the population created a second god. That second god, in order to contain the first one, actually shattered it into 14 pieces, and each of those pieces, basically it shattered reality into 14 realities. So you had 14 mirrors of the same world, but you know, each, so you exist in this world, but there is a you that exists in the other world. And if all of the yous came back together, you would coalesce into your original self, basically. So that happened a long time ago. And there were 3 people that were left behind, who it's their job to basically make sure that the world comes back together. But to do that, they have to destroy these other worlds so that they can basically fuse back together with the first. And this world was one of the worlds that was destroyed in order to bring it back in. Or they were attempting to bring it back in. They failed and the world basically fell into darkness. So now it's a cursed world. And yeah, so it looks like we're going to go there. And that's the short story.
I guess my original question is, like, for somebody in Final Fantasy 14, right? Like, how much money are you spending a year? Because I think as... listeners and viewers would know, like, I spend $200 a year for Hearthstone expansions, right? $250 if there's 5, but I think they haven't done 5 in a while. But so how much are you spending a year for Final Fantasy?
It's subscription based, so I pay...
Not including the subscription, so just like on like content that you pay for, if you do pay for content?
It's entirely up to you. You don't have to pay anything if you don't want to. Yeah.
So you don't have to pay for like the... I don't know what you'd pay for. So every year, in a year, you're just paying for the subscription. You don't have to... don't have to pay for any extra stuff.
Nope.
So I'm confused. So you're not paying, but you said there's only one expansion every 2 years. So that means every second year you're paying more money than on top of the subscription.
Most of the content they release in between are mostly cosmetics. Okay. So if you want to get some different mounts, if you want to get different minions, which are like little pets that follow you around, if you want to get special outfits for your character, you also have things like what they call a Fantasia, which allows you to recreate your character. So you can change you can change everything. You can change the way you look. You can change your race. You can change your gender if you want to. So those things you have to pay for. But as far as the game goes, most of the stuff, you are happy with what's already in the game. You don't need to pay for anything else. And none of it would give you an advantage per se. The only thing that arguably might give you percentage, an advantage would be you can buy story skips. So you don't have
what
to play
story through. Skips.
For example, if I was playing the game and I wanted to move my character to a different server, or for whatever reason, I wanted a second character, but I don't want to have to play through four expansions worth of content. I just want to be level 90. You can pay for a story skip and it skips all the content up to that point and just puts you right at max level basically, or maybe 10 levels below max level.
Okay, so if you hit that level, but we're like, where do you get the gear from?
You'd have to buy it.
As in physically buy in like a store or?
No, you could either go to the auction house in game and buy it off the auction house. People will drop gear on there sometimes. You could do it that way, or you could just by doing content, you get things called tomes and you can use your tomes to buy gear. Or even just going around killing monsters, you get your money. You can go to a store in any of the major cities and you can usually buy gear at level. It's usually not very powerful gear, but it'll be high enough to allow you access to dungeons at level. Yeah, so that was one of the things, for instance, what Phil was saying because I wasn't really big into the gathering classes or anything like that. And that was one thing that Phil was saying was if you're level, say, 80, and you want to go to level 90, if you want better gear, just go to the town, just buy gear using your gold. They call it gil in the game. Just buy it from the town. And then when you reach max level, then you can start grinding for the good gear. You just need something to carry you on until you reach the next point where you can start like investing. But yeah. Some people spend tons and tons of money. But for me, I've only ever spent money once for something that was not a subscription or an expansion.
So what did you spend it on?
The Fenrir mount, which is Cloud's mount from Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. You see this motorcycle behind me? This one's got a funny name. He fell over. I'm gonna have to fix him on his side right there. But this one's called the Harvey Dalinson or something. I don't know. It's like they just twisted the name. But Fenrir was his mount in the movie. And I was like, oh, I need that mount because it's awesome. And at the time, it was the only motorcycle in the game.
Okay.
And it was 50% off for Christmas.
So, no, why not? So that's why like Final Fantasy XIV can be dry because there's been no new content for a year. I mean, beyond cosmetics.
Oh, no, they release new content every patch.
What kind of content are we talking about?
You get new dungeons. All the new dungeons will drop new gear. You get sometimes they, like in this most recent patch, they added new crafting recipes so you can craft new stuff in the game. They do holidays all the time, so they'll have like gear for maybe Christmas or Halloween, or they have summer festival.
Chinese New Year?
Yep. This year for Chinese New Year. It's Lunar New Year. It's not Chinese New Year specifically.
It's Lunar New Year.
But in the past, they always had helmets, which would have the animal of the year depicted on them. So you get like a rabbit or a mouse on your head. This year, because this is, I guess, the 12th year anniversary or so. So they've done all the animals. So this year they have a full set of armor. No helmet, but you get basically like a full set of samurai armor looking stuff. And what they also do is, for instance, if you have, say, a Christmas event, they have Christmas gear. The following Christmas, they'll take the previous Christmas's gear and put it up on the money store. So if you get into the game late and you're like, oh man, that stuff was so cool. If you're playing the game, you can get stuff for free from these events. But people who miss those events can usually pay real world money to get a lot of these items later if they wanted them. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's so in a year, content-wise, you're getting six new pieces of content per year because those are the six patches, right?
Three pieces of content per year, six over 2 years.
Oh, because
so one
every
4 months. So every 4 months or so, you get new content. And that's what the subscription pays for.
Okay. Yeah. And how much is the subscription again?
I think it's like $15 per month.
So you're paying 15 times 12. Oh my God, my math is terrible. How much is that?
It's about $180 bucks a month. A year?
$180
a year. $180
a year.
So it's about three games. It's about three games a year.
Three games a year. That's not bad, right?
Yeah.
And so as somebody who doesn't play it like continuously, right? So do you cancel your subscription and then re-up when you want to play?
I do not. A lot of people do. I do not, for two reasons. One, I do not because I actually do really enjoy the game. So even if I'm not playing it, I do want to actively support them and continue making content. So I do say, you know what, just leave the subscription up there. I'm okay with giving them money. I enjoy their content. I'm not paying for a lot of these things on the store anyway. I'd rather they have money and continue to put out content than not. So that's part of the reason. The other reason is because I, even if I'm not actively playing, I do pop in from time to time just to catch up on some things, or every time they do a holiday event, I'll always just pop in and do the holiday event to get whatever free stuff they're offering for that. So I always pop in for that, you know.
This is like a permanent fixture on your PS5.
Yeah, it's a permanent fixture on my PS5, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and okay. Also, when I started playing, I played with friends, and we created a guild. We have a guild house, and so I pop into the guild house, because if you have housing and you're not using it, then it will go up for sale. Because they have limited housing, so if nobody's using it, then, you know, it's a waste of space, so they'll pop it up for sale. I keep all our deeds intact.
Very cool. I mean, this is a huge distraction from what we've been talking about.
I know. We've already spent 20 minutes on this.
Final Fantasy, yes, but I guess I never get to ask that many questions, and for some reason my brain was curious.
Oh, we could spend a whole episode on it one day if you want. Antoine, I don't know if Antoine plays or has played. I know Phil has.
I'm sure you and Antoine could probably spend a whole episode talking about it.
But that's the point, is we already know what to expect. So, you know, we would need somebody who doesn't have experience with it, because you're going to be asking the questions of people who don't know.
Oh, I was just curious about the economics of it, because I was just thinking, okay, I bought an expansion in December. It's January. When's the next Hearthstone expansion coming out? How many are going to come out this year? Plus, it's always experimented with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, expansions work very differently than they do in, say, like Hearthstone. Because in this one, an expansion is basically an extension of the story. So it's more like, you played Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, those, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay, so you know how, like, if you get an expansion, it's basically like a whole new story, you get access to new units? That's what an expansion is in this game. Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, like, in the Warframe sense as well. Like, Warframe had patches where, in between versions, like version 1 to version 2, you'd have version 1.2 that have like new armor, new guns and stuff. And then maybe midway, you'd have a big new Warframe or some other big thing. And then in the big version 2, it'd be like, oh, there'd be new mechanics, new worlds to go to, new things to do. And then that's how they did it. And I think they're still doing it that way. So it's just, I was just wondering, because I've heard you talk about it, I just never like contextualized it in my brain for some reason. Okay, then we should jump into the game. So I have at least 3 shorts to make out for today.
What have you been playing?
No, I think we can skip that today, because I'm still playing pretty much the same thing.
Okay, so you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure, I can go first. Okay, if you missed last week, you should know that today we're talking about exclusives, right? And timed exclusives. And if you're a fan of this podcast, and you should be, you should know Adam has very strong opinions about timed exclusives, because we've talked about it. I've talked about it as well. We had a special episode about that. So the way I approach this topic, again, because I'm primarily a PC gamer and a Switch gamer every now and then, I'm not too familiar with exclusives. I mean, I guess I do experience them with the Horizon Forbidden Zero, which came out, I'm like, oh my God, this game.
Zero Dawn.
Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn. When it was out, I'm like, this game is beautiful. I'd love to play it. There was the Heaven Sword, which was like another cool game on the PlayStation. I'm like, oh my God, this game looks so cool. And of course, like, Heaven Sword never came to the PC, of course. Sony started to release games on the PC. I am familiar with it. Long story short, so I've chosen games that are exclusive in a sense, in terms of platform exclusive. They're not like timed exclusives. Or maybe they are. I'm not exactly sure. So my first game today is going to be Hogwarts Legacy. And let me tell you, I am not a Harry Potter fan. I did go to Harry Potter World in Japan. That place was cool. And why I chose this game, because I grew up reading fantasy books as a kid, and I love magic and stuff. And I've never read the Harry Potter books, but I did watch most of the movies, I think. And I think I feel like I've forgotten a bunch of them. But yeah, this is a cool game. Who wouldn't want to be like a kid going to Harry Potter school and doing magic and stuff? And I've watched a bit of the gameplay. This is interesting also in a sense, because there's a lot of controversy about it, right? When this was coming out or going to be released, J.K. Rowling said some unfortunate things, and people like, oh my God, she's like destroying the franchise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then WB Games, who this is published by, which I'm pretty sure they're published by, they're like, okay, given the negativity around this franchise, we're going to We're going to lay low for a bit, which is why it was delayed. And again, Adam could correct me on this. Then, of course, there've been development delays. This was supposed to come out for the Switch, and people were like, yeah, no. Or the company that's developing this, yeah, no, this is way too good looking to be on a Switch. This game is coming out on all current generation consoles and PC. No PS4, no Xbox, whatever it was before the Series X and the Series S. Okay, the Xbox One is like the teach kids that it's okay to do magic in school. Yes, no, we'll goodbye. I totally agree. So this looks really cool. It's something I would personally hold off buying because they've had so many delays and not actually sure it's actually going to come out on time. But yeah, it's coming out really soon. If I don't remember, the date is, I did not write out the date, but I remember it's sometime in the next 2 months. And yeah, let's see how it goes. Really worried about performance issues on the PC, maybe even consoles as well. But yeah, if you're a fan of Harry Potter, this is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Harry Potter. I know a lot of people who are. I was always curious about how does magic work? Is this kind of more like what you might have, say, in Dragon Age, where magic is basically just the skill you use? I'm going to use a Patronus spell. Boom, Patronus, use it. Or is there going to be more kind of magical crafting in it? Are you going to be able to really customize the magic, or do you think it's preset abilities?
I think it's, I would imagine it's given from the movies and stuff, and I did watch a bit of gameplay. It looked like you were actively selecting abilities, right? So as someone shot something at you, select like a shield spell, protect yourself, you select something else, shoot something back. I can imagine it's not as, there've been a few games where Forspoken can combine powers together, right? And I would say a few, like two or three games I know of where you can combine different schools of magic or different magical things to produce like a new different power. So I don't think it's going to be as complex as that. I think they'll probably stick very close to the formula. And I think for most people, I think they'll be satisfied with that.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that always, for me with Harry Potter, is there didn't really seem to be any rules when it came to magic. It is just, oh, we can do this spell. Oh, here's a spell that can do this. Here's a spell that can do that. I didn't read the books. Maybe in the books it's different. I've only seen the movies. But yeah, it always just seemed like magic was just haphazard and all over the place. And so it's kind of like, oh, like what can you do with magic? But what can't you do with magic? Like, what are the limitations of it? Was something that's always interesting to me. So seeing this, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. Is it going to feel like, at least to me, what the movies felt like, where it's like anything is possible? Or is it going to feel like, oh, I have set spells, I have this, and it's going to feel more confined? So yeah, for me, it's I'm really curious as to how that's going to balance out.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Not real enough is what Noble Cooper said. Yeah. Yeah, what I want is real magic, okay? I want real magic. No, but yeah, I always, I don't know. For me, it's always really interesting to see when magic has rules, because when magic has rules, then as somebody reading it or playing it or watching it, you can imagine, what would I do with it? What could I do with it? But when you have something like Harry Potter, where that's not very, from a movie viewer's perspective, not very clearly defined, it's kind of, oh, could I do this with magic? Or are there very specific spells? And you can't just do anything. So,
and I totally agree. And I think most like gaming systems have to have limitations, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things, is on the few times, a few games I've seen where you can do kind of magic, usually it's a mess.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about your first game, which is very connected to what we just talked about.
Yeah. So my first game is Final Fantasy 16, as Korean pointed out. So basically, this is going to be the first time a Final Fantasy game has ever been mature, rated mature. So that's kind of an interesting little tidbit. And the story is kind of interesting. Actually, related to what we were talking about before, this Final Fantasy 16 is actually, the person at the helm is Yoshi P, who is also the person at the helm of Final Fantasy 14 and the person who saved it from disaster. The original Final Fantasy 14 was actually considered a huge failure, massive disaster. Yoshi P came in, saved us all. He's the Final Fantasy Messiah in some circles. So there's a lot of hype around this game because a lot of people really like his style. They really like the way he sticks with the original themes of some of the really old school Final Fantasies. This one's going to have references to the Mother Crystal and all those sort of things. You have your Warriors of Light, which was in the original Final Fantasy. You have the Warrior of Light and whatnot. But if you look at some of the later ones, Final Fantasy 6, 7, there's no mention of Warriors of Light, so things like that. So the fact that he's going back into this kind of classic mode is really exciting. And the fact that he's done so well with 14 is really exciting. In this game, he's able to do whatever he wants with it. There are some concerns. You only have one playable character. His name is Clive. And so it's going to look, it looks in that sense like it might be like Final Fantasy 15, where you basically have one playable character and you have other party members that you can swap in and out. But, or at least in this one, it looks like you can swap them in and out, but you can't control them, at least not directly. One of the characters is a dog, so that looks really interesting that you can have a dog at your command. But the story is basically you have these, there's a lot of political intrigue. There's a lot of countries that are fighting each other. There are people called dominants who have the powers or can utilize the powers of icons. Icons are summons. Okay, so your traditional Shiva, Ifrit, Ramu. Clive's younger brother is a dominant. He is the dominant of Phoenix, and some things go wrong. Clive is able to utilize the powers of what seems to be multiple summons. So it seems like he is a dominant, or at least dominant adjacent, because he was not the selected dominant. His brother was. So we're going to see how that's going to go. And what's also interesting is that this story is actually going to span across three different eras. So it starts off with Clive being in his teens, and then later on we're going to see Clive in his 20s, and then finally Clive in his 30s. It looks like it's going to be a pretty big and expansive and epic story. So really looking forward to this. They are definitely moving away from turn-based and going more action-based. A lot of people have been comparing it to Devil May Cry in the way the combat looks. Oh, here we got my cat up on. But yeah, so I'm excited. I know a lot of other people are excited. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it turns out. Yeah.
I guess my first question.
Sorry, what?
I said my first question is got to be because we spent 20 minutes talking about multiplayer. So there's not going to be any multiplayer in
No, there is no multiplayer in this. This is a single player traditional Final Fantasy.
Why wouldn't they make this multiplayer? Why wouldn't they make Final Fantasy 16 like the new version of Final Fantasy 14?
Because I guess partially because Final Fantasy 14 is still massively successful. So there's no reason to come up with a new one.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But so I guess that's part of it. But I guess also another reason would be because with Final Fantasy 15, you had your single player mode, and then they actually had a multiplayer mode called Comrades. And yeah, I think this is one of those things where it's just, maybe it just doesn't work as well when you have teams, especially because you have preset characters. You're not doing like custom classes or anything like that. So, you know, if you're playing as in single player as Clive the whole time, and you're used to Clive's controls, and another player, like say the dog, is completely different in its gameplay. If I log in online and I jump into my friend's game and I'm playing the dog, I have to relearn all the controls. I have to relearn how to play because I'm not playing the character that I'm used to. They play completely differently. So I think that's partially the reason why. There might, later on, they might do something like Comrades where they create a multiplayer mode. I don't know. But yeah. And I think partially too because a lot of people really do want, a lot of Final Fantasy fans, I think, really enjoy that single player kind of experience. It's established itself as a single player game. So I think, yeah, that's why.
Okay. I'd be curious to hear like somebody who got into Final Fantasy 14 as the first, their first MMO, what their perception is of 15 and potentially 16. Would they be like only multiplayer only, or would they actually appreciate the story?
Yeah, I don't know. I think also too, when you have single player, it allows you to do certain things with story that you can't do with an MMO. With Final Fantasy 14, you're the hero. You're the Warrior of Light, right? But then technically every player is the Warrior of Light. So in the game, they just reference everybody else as adventurers. So when you see other players, they're adventurers, you're the hero. And this story kind of focuses around you, but because you're you and they're them, your character doesn't have a whole lot of personality. They're very much a silent protagonist. And it's all your companions who are really driving the story. And they're the ones that are talking, and they're the ones that have personality. But when you have a single player game, you can establish a singular character, say Geralt and The Witcher, and you can do things with that you can't do with, say, an open-ended protagonist that you would have in, say, Fallout or Elder Scrolls. So I think it allows you to create a more focused story. So I think that's also part of it, is it just gives them different options when they create the story.
Okay, let's try and fit in two more.
Sure.
I'm gonna skip to my third game, which is actually my backup game.
Okay.
Which is the game that is called Disney's Illusion Island. So there is no release date for that game just yet, but it's supposed to be an exclusive for the Switch. I doubt it will be. I think this is going to be Switch, PC, PS5. Just looking at the state of the graphics and stuff, I think this could pretty much be every single platform available. I was going to say mobile, but I know Nintendo has given up on mobile in the sense, like some of their games that are on the Apple Store, they've, nope, this is the last time we're going to update this game. We're actually going to delist it at some point in the future. But if you're watching the trailer, this is a very cutesy Disney-like game. It reminds you of the modern Disney cartoons that are on Cartoon Network, I believe. That's what our style. Oh, Disney Channel? Yeah, what did I say? Cartoon Network. I'm old. Disney Channel. So very much that animated style, something that's guaranteed to run on a Switch. But yeah, it's a platforming game. It looks really beautiful. It just flashed on the thread to be, because it's released at some point this year. I don't think this is going to be a game that we can expect a lot of delays, but it's definitely something, could be a Switch exclusive, unlikely to be, but if it is, that's fine. I can imagine a Switch's 114 million console player base is large enough for Disney and Nintendo to make money off of. So yeah, cool game. Something I would probably pre-order on the Switch just because of the art. I don't know why. Like cool games these days, but me, Metroidvania-like game for anyone who looks likes nice art, easygoing, relaxing game. And you can play it with friends as well, right? Yeah, something to keep an eye out for this year.
So looking at this, it reminds me of Trine and the fact that you're playing with multiple characters and using their what seem to be abilities to navigate. Did the different characters play differently and solve puzzles in a way, or are they basically just a look?
I hope so. I feel like just looking at the trailer and stuff, it looks like everyone plays the same. And it just, but I don't think so. I hope they give everyone different abilities and try. That would be really nice. Yeah, but I guess we'll have to see. I didn't see a lot of details. Like when I looked at descriptions and stuff for this game, it was very much light on details. Just this trailer, a little bit of description about it. And I'm like, okay, this looks cool. It looks different. I don't think I've ever seen, I should say not recently anyway, a Disney IP doing this sort of game in quite a few years.
This is Switch only, not PC, right?
Switch only, but I think it's probably going to be everywhere.
Do you think they'll do cross-platform if they do decide to put it everywhere?
No, I don't think they'll do cross-platform, which is unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
Yes.
Because it seems like a great game that for that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because like, yeah, it is simple, and they're like, yeah, you want to be on a Switch, and you're just on a train, a long train, and your friend is chilling at home on his PC or whatever. It's like, hey.
Yeah, that would be super fun. All right, Mr. Gray, tell us about your second choice, whichever one it may be.
Whichever one what?
It may be.
Oh, okay. So my second choice is going to be... Oh, hang on. I'm getting my buttons wrong here. There we go. My second choice is going to be Stellar Blade. So this game is interesting because when it first was announced, I was not interested in this at all. And the more I've looked at it, because I was like, okay, I got to look exclusives. And after looking at it, I'm like, oh, no, wait. I am into this. So Stellar Blade is a game by SkillUp. It's Korean. If you are familiar with Korean games, it should be very obviously that it's Korean. Korea has a very specific style when it comes to games. But it was originally called Project Eve, and this is where it gets odd. It was originally called Project Eve. It was originally announced for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. However, it then disappeared for a while, and it looked like maybe it wasn't going to be made. PlayStation picked up the tab, said, we're going to help you guys finish this. We're going to help you develop it. And as a result, it is now a PlayStation 5, I believe, and PC exclusive. I'm pretty sure it's coming to PC. But yeah, now it might not be coming to Xbox, which is very disappointing because obviously people on Xbox can't play. Also very disappointing because, much like Starfield, a game that is announced for a console, you get your hype up, and then, oh no, wait, it's not, because another developer has come in and bought. And I think that's just really disappointing, because you see it, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm all hyped for it, it's coming, somebody else buys it up, nope, not for you anymore. So I am disappointed by that. I do hope it does come to Xbox. PlayStation is helping with the development, however, they don't own the IP, I don't believe. So I think they basically were like, hey, we'll help you out for exclusivity. I'm hoping that is timed exclusivity and not total exclusivity. But anyway, part of the reason it didn't appeal to me was because in the past, I've seen games that have this aesthetic, the Korean games, and sometimes they are very pretty, but superficial when it comes to gameplay. It's all style and no substance. But looking at it more, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is actually giving me Nier Automata vibes, maybe a little bit of Devil May Cry. Combat looks a little more intense than Nier Automata, but story-wise and things like that, it seems very similar. So the more I look at it, the more I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? Maybe I actually might have to pick up this game when it comes out. The story is you are Eve, who I believe is an android, and Earth has been invaded by these things called the Natives, which are, I believe, extraterrestrial in origin. And humanity has basically been forced off planet. So now they're living in space stations. So Eve is tasked with coming back to Earth, retaking it. Upon landing on Eve, she comes with her friend Lily. Upon landing on Earth, they meet a guy named Adam. So we have our Adam and Eve. Adam leads them to Xi'an, which is the last surviving human city on Earth, where we meet this guy in the trailer who is an old man robot looking thing. And then, yeah, from there, you're supposed to drive off the natives and reclaim the Earth for humanity. So, yeah.
Looks really cool. I like the fighting. And like what you said makes sense, like when it comes to, when I think of Black Desert Online, which I've never played, but I watched a lot of the videos of, and I remember, oh my God, the combat looks really cool. And then when you read out user reviews and stuff, monetization schemes.
But yeah, no, with Black Desert, from what I've heard, I know people who have played it, they said Black Desert is actually pretty good gameplay-wise, but it is heavily monetized. It's not a subscription-based game, but it's one of those games where if you want to keep up like you would in, say, not dissimilar to Warframe, you know, you're going to need to spend real world money or else things are going to get severely slowed down. You know, for instance, if you wanted to, I don't know, maybe start a garden or something like that, you can have one free flower pot, right? And so you can grow one flower at a time or whatever. And if you want to buy 8, you have to actually pay money for those other ones. And then the other thing too, at Black Desert, that from what I've heard, is Black Desert doesn't really have a max level cap. So you're always progressing, but people who have been playing longer are always going to be more powerful than people who are just starting up. You can't catch up.
That's
in
terrible.
The game. Yeah. So I guess when you do PvP type things, there's a way of balancing it out. But yeah, as far as you would never be able to progress as far as somebody who's been consistently playing. It's a weird system. I think the idea there is that there's always something to grind for. For instance, in Final Fantasy XIV, you can reach a point where it's, okay, I've already unlocked all my characters are level 80. I have the best gear. I've got nothing really to do. And then people drop off. Whereas in Black Desert, it's kind of like there's always something to grind for. Because whenever somebody hits max level, they're like, okay, we're just going to up the max level again. And then you grind further, which means that some people will never be able to catch up. But I think that's their philosophy there. But yeah, as Noble Cooper says, some games have looks, but no guts. This game is one of those ones where when I first saw it, that was my first impression. I also saw a little bit later The First Descendants, which was another Korean game that is very similar. But yeah, so after seeing some of the gameplay, I am a little more hopeful because like I said, it does remind me of Nier Automata and what else? Bayonetta or Devil May Cry, that sort of thing. And if this was just purely an indie game, like what it was originally supposed to be, then I probably would give it a skip. But the fact that PlayStation came in, and even if it was, it doesn't matter that it was PlayStation or Microsoft, if Microsoft had done this or if Blizzard, the fact that a very large company came in and they're like, we like your idea, we want to help you get this through the gate, that kind of gives me a little more confidence that maybe they saw potential in this, and then you're going to have a bigger budget, you're going to have maybe a bigger crew working on it, so that gives me a little bit more hope. So I will be having my eye on this one
because Sony has that expectation from its player base of really good quality games and stuff, so if they are putting money behind it, I think it makes sense that we can expect a certain level of quality. Did you happen to know a price point for this? Are we going to be $70, $80?
It's probably going to be $70. I would assume it's just a regular PlayStation 5 price. That would be my assumption. And it looks like that's starting to happen across the board. A lot of Steam games are going for that now, too. I think Xbox just recently upped their prices for games. So it looks like 70 is the new standard.
Very cool. Okay. Then I think we will end off today's podcast on this interesting note. And we'll see. I think we'll figure out what we're going to talk about next week, unless you have any ideas on the spot, Adam.
Not off the top of my head, did you?
I did not at all. I was thinking, maybe we can find, let's do a trending topic episode next week, right? Sure. Yeah, we'll see what's trending and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, or we'll be right in the middle of Chinese New Year. We could maybe Chinese games or games made by Chinese developers. Actually, you know what? It's a Lunar New Year. I shouldn't say Chinese New Year. But maybe we can do, maybe figure out something for that.
Sure.
Yeah. Games that feature rabbits as main characters.
I was thinking that would be, again, another very difficult topic.
I'm sure there's lots of games with rabbits. But we'll think of something. Yeah, and if not, we can just do the trending thing. So.
Sure. Sounds good. Then, hope everyone enjoyed the episode. As usual, right, please check out the shorts. Please check out the podcast. Let us know what you think, right? Twitter.com/gamingaged. And you can also check out the YouTube channel, right? Easy to remember now. Maged Gaming, like a mage wizard. Maged Gaming, right? So if you just type in the channel quickly, it's youtube.com @@ on your keyboard, Maged Gaming. It's another fast way to find our channel. And then we will see you guys next week at the same time.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!